Learning Michtav Eliyahu, the essay which is titled Acquiring Eternity in a Moment. We spoke about a ladder. A person's life is a ladder. Hashem starts us off at the lowest rungs, which is to say that we are naturally very selfish, very self-centered. And through climbing the ladder, through our lives, we're able to elevate ourselves, we're able to change ourselves, work on ourselves, and improve ourselves. So normally, what we understand is if you have to climb a ladder, you climb so rung by rung. Now those who are stronger, they climb faster. Those who are weaker, they climb slower. But what we learned is there's another way to climb up the ladder. And that is if you have a person who's handicapped, who has no legs, how does a person without legs climb a ladder? The answer is that he cries from down below, he calls out, and Hashem, with great compassion, carries him to the top of the ladder instantly. So it's a very, very quick way of climbing the ladder. And about this we have the Gemara that says that Rebbe cried, when Rebbe heard of an incident involving such a type of climbing, right, which is type, it's called the type of tshuva. The person climbs with the power of tshuva, that he asks Hashem to return him, return me to you, Hashem, and in an instant he can acquire his will to come, so he cried. Now there are three, just as a bit of background, there are three stories brought in the Gemara. The first is the story of Kitea Bar Shalom. Kitea Bar Shalom was a Roman officer. He was a Roman aristocrat. He was part of the Senate, or whatever judicial body there was. And he was once sitting in a session with the king. And the king said to his officers, if a person has a dead lump attached to his body, and it's paining him, should he remove this dead lump or not? That's what the king's question was to his senators were. Should he remove this dead lump or not? The reference being to the Jewish people. The Jewish people is a thorn in our sides, and it's just like a piece of dead flesh attached to this. So should I bear it? Should I suffer it and die? Or should I remove it and live? That was the king's question. So obviously all the Roman officers said, yeah, you should remove it, you should destroy it. And this Kitea Bar Shalom, he spoke up and he said, you can't do it. And he gave different reasons why you can't destroy the Jewish people. They're absolutely essential to the world. The world cannot survive without the Jewish people. That was one of his arguments. The other argument he brought was that technically you're not able to do it because they're scattered all over. You just physically, you won't be able to do it. So that's the first point. The second point was that they'll call you a kingdom that's lacking. That was his second claim. That they'll call you, your own kingdom itself will be lacking a piece of the kingdom, and that way, your kingdom won't be complete if you destroy the Jewish people. So the king's response was, you've answered very well. However, since it's an embarrassment to best the king, you can't out-argue a king. So therefore you get the death penalty. So this Kitea Bar Shalom was being carried to his death. His death was some sort of a room filled with dirt, where he would just be locked in this room until he finally sunk into the dirt died. It was a painful death. And on his way to his death, a Roman noble woman called out to him. She said, woe to the ship that sails without having paid its taxes. Which means that you've showed loyalty to the Jewish people, and you'll certainly have a share, but you won't have a share with the Jewish people because you never converted. So in other words, you've acted on behalf of the Jewish people, but yet you can't have the merit of joining the Jewish people because you never converted. So he, at that point, he fell on his own bris milah, and he performed bris milah to himself, and he said, "I've now paid my taxes. Let me sell." So when he, at that point, a heavenly voice came out and said, and I think he died there, and when he died, a heavenly voice came out and said that Eliezer Bar Shalom is invited to the world to come. He's summoned to the world to come. And Rebbe, on hearing that story, cried and said, there is the individual who acquires his world in a moment. So that's story number one. Story number two involves a certain Jew whose name was Elazar Dor. Sorry, the first the Roman senator's name was Kitea Bar Sholem. Excuse me, I got the names wrong. The second story involves a Jew called Elazar Dor. Elazar Dor was obsessed with prostitutes, absolutely crazy, that he had to try everyone out. And finally, he heard of a certain prostitute who lived, however, a very distant island, very far sea journey, and also she was tremendously expensive. He had to pay a huge amount of money to visit her. And he said to himself, of course, he has to go and see her as well. And he brought these sacks of gold, and he took this tremendous sea journey to try and get to her. And it was a whole business, a whole procedure to get to see to her, right? I think he had to climb up. There were seven beds with seven ladders, whatever, the whole thing. Finally, when he was with her, she passed wind. And she made a comment. She said, just like that wind will not return, so in the heavens they'll never take you back to do tshuva. That was her comment, this prostitute's comment to this yid. Right? They'll never take you back. So he heard this, he got such a shock. It was like such a wake-up call. So immediately he left. And he started to do tshuva. And he cried to the heavens and the earth. And he said, please help me to do tshuva. Please beg on my behalf that the heavens should re-accept me. That I should be re-accepted as a loyal Jew. And the heavens and earth said, no, we have to cry for ourselves. We can't cry for you. We have enough problems of our own. And he said to the hills and the mountains, cry for me. And he said to the oceans, cry for me. No one could help him. So finally he said, the whole thing depends on me. No one's going to help me. No, the whole thing depends on me. And he put his head between his knees and he cried and he sobbed that he wants to return to Hashem. And in that state of sobbing and crying, he died. And a heavenly voice came out and said, Elazar Dor is summoned to the world to come. He's invited to the world to come. And Rebbe, on hearing the story, cried and said, there is the person who acquires his world in a single moment. There's a person who acquires his world in tens of years of hard work, hard service of Hashem. And there's a person who acquires his world to come in a single moment. That's the second story. The third story is, in Roman times, Hanina ben Tradion was teaching Torah in public. It was against the law. But he said he can't help himself. So he was teaching Torah in public, and the Romans caught him, and they decided to burn him. And they took the Sefer Torah that he had been teaching from, and they wrapped it around his body, and they ignited him. But in order that he shouldn't die too quickly, so they put these wet cotton sponges on him, so that his death should be a slow death. So his students were gathered around. His wife came. His students were there. His wife said, this is the Torah and this is its reward. And he said, don't cry about me. Cry about the letters of the Torah. I see the letters of the Torah. Right? Going up to the heavens. The scroll was burning. I think that was the response to the students. The students said, Rebbe, what do you see? He says, he sees the letters of the Torah going up to the heavens. They said to Rebbe, open your mouth, inhale the fire, and die quickly. He said, no, that's forbidden. I'm not allowed to do that. So there was a Roman sergeant there who was in charge of the fires. And he said to him, Rebbe, if I remove the swabs, which make if I do this act of kindness, removing these swabs so that you'll die quicker, right? Will you guarantee me a share in the world to come? So he said to him, yes, I will. So this Roman soldier removed all the swabs, all the cotton sponges, and the fire suddenly became very, very strong, and the Roman soldier himself jumped into the fire. And the two of them were burned, and a heavenly voice came out and said, Chanina ben Tradion and this Roman soldier are both invited to the world to come. And again, Rebbe's response was, when he heard this, was he cried and he said, that those who acquire their world to come in tens of years of hard work, and there are those who acquire their world to come in a single moment. Okay, those are the three incidents. The question we asked on this was, how can this be such a thing? If really the service of Hashem requires dedicated work, how can it be that there is such a thing that a person can acquire eternity in a moment? It seems to be unfair, right? We gave the example of the cripple at the bottom of the ladder who cries out to Hashem, and he's taken up to the top of the ladder in a moment. It seems to be unfair. On the other hand, who's jealous of a cripple? Who would be jealous of? No one's jealous of a cripple. No one's jealous of a sinner. Right? A person, a frum Jew, is certainly not jealous of a sinner. So how does it work? How do we understand the two things? And also we have to understand that the other teaching that goes together with this teaching is that v'mokim shebalei tshuva oimdim, afilu tzadikim gmurim einam oimdim. Right? In the place where the balei tshuva stand, so even the greatest tzadikim don't go to that place. They can't come to that place. One more point, just before we start our explanation, we have to understand, though, that most of the reward is according to the labor. So therefore, it could be they have a share in the world to come. One of the explanations brought here is the Mahashur. The Mahashur says that, why did Rebbe cry? So our understanding why Rebbe cried was, look at the quality that the service of Hashem can contain. That in a moment you can acquire the entire eternity. So imagine how much potential every moment of life has to serve Hashem. That if a person, that's the power of a moment of life. And what are we doing with our moments of life? That's the normal explanation. That's why Rebbe cried. And that's where Rebbe Dessler goes with that explanation. There's another explanation which is not contradictory. It's complementary. The other explanation is the Amar Shor says, why did Rebbe cry? Because he said that unfortunately these people are coming to the world to come with just one moment of having served Hashem. Like imagine a person has a mansion but he has no furniture. It's just an empty mansion. So, they've served Hashem in such a great way, and yet they have such little reward for all of their service. Right? You know, they have the world to come. They have a share in the world to come. They have a mansion in the world to come. But that's all they have. They don't have mitzvahs. They don't have a life full of mitzvahs. They don't have a life of coming closer to Hashem. They don't have all the good attributes that they would have acquired. It's they're there. They're in. But in a, it's we have to have pity on them as well. Right? Okay, that's the Marshal, that's another teaching. But they're in a very special place, a unique place. Now, to explain these two approaches, the approach of what we call the Avodah B'Madregos, service through levels. In other words, that's climbing the ladder step by step, rung by rung. A person climbs the ladder and it's not so easy, and the ladder is very steep, and the steps are very difficult to climb. But that's the person with tens of years right through his life, he climbs the ladder. To explain the contrast between that and climbing the ladder in a moment, Rav Dessler explains as follows. And this we saw a little bit in the last class, and we're going to go on now. Firstly, he said that really the objective of all service of Hashem is to reveal Hashem in this world. That's what we want. We want Hashem is hidden in this world. We want to get Him to reveal Himself. How do we get Him to reveal Himself? With our good deeds. So with our good deeds, especially with the self-sacrifice, we do it with a lot of the feeling, we give ourselves over to it, we do it in a very full way. So Hashem reveals Himself, right? And also, as we clear the air of a secular type lifestyle, of a very materialistic type of lifestyle, so also Hashem Himself reveals Himself. In other words, it comes in two directions, it's like two friends coming closer to each other. As the one that takes a few steps to the one, the other one takes a few steps to the other. We take steps towards Hashem, and He takes steps towards us. It's our steps that causes Hashem to come closer to us. That's point number one. Point number two is the teaching that says, if you open for me a opening like a prick of a needle, so I will open you an opening like the opening of a banquet hall, right? The double doors, these huge double doors of the banquet hall, I'll open that for you. So Hashem's movement towards us is much greater than our movement towards Him. We just make small steps, but He opens everything up for us. And that's the regular progress. With the Baal Tshuva, with a person who's lived a life full of sin, so by him it's very difficult to make any type of pinprick at all. It's just he does his pin is very blunt. There's nothing to it. He can't do very much. He's so tied up in his own desires, all of his... He's such a this-world person. He's so engrossed in the whole world, the whole physical world. He's so much part of the physical world. It's very, very difficult for him to do anything at all. However, so we're picking up here, page in the Hebrew version on page 27. However, there is something very special. So in the third paragraph, about four lines down, it says, "Aval achoite kol yomo v'chol maisov higdil hester." This sinner, all of his life, through his actions, caused Hashem to be more and more hidden. Just like holy acts reveal Hashem, so therefore profane acts, right? A person's very greedy acts, a person is very self-indulgent, a lustful type of person, a jealous person, a very aggressive, arrogant person, a vicious person, a person who acts in a vicious way, is that all of this causes the Hashem to be hidden. And that's the sinner. The sinner, through his actions, has caused Hashem to be more and more and more hidden. Hashem is more and more absent. He's more, the evil hides, cloaks Hashem completely. So through his life, he's hidden Hashem, ki mora pi Hashem, with his rebelliousness of Hashem. The more he rebels, the more Hashem hides himself. Vigaba shuvoi. And even if he wants to do tshuva, suddenly one day he wakes up and says, you know, what have I done with my life? I've messed up my whole life. I've ruined my whole life. I've just wasted everything. Wasted years and years and years. You know, you have people wake up and suddenly at the age of 50, 60, 70, they suddenly say, wow, what have I been doing? Right? I've wasted my life. So then he wants to do tshuva. The type of impact he can make, the type of change he can make is very, very minimal, right? And the needle, the opening that he makes with the needle is almost nothing. Because he can't even take the smallest step up. You know, he's so habituated with his lifestyle is so much a part of him that he can't even take the small step up. In other words, he's like that handicapped person, the legless person who can't even take one step up the ladder. That's it. What can he do? He can't change his ways. He has totally contaminated his heart. He's totally blocked his heart. His heart is blocked up. But there's almost no sensitivity anymore. Can't be sensitive to anything. His heart is blocked with all of the contamination of his deeds. Years and years of ugly deeds, of self-centered, selfish deeds. However, this desire of wanting to do tshuva causes a heavenly help, which is unparalleled. Just the desire. He's really got nothing. He's got no actions, his thoughts. It's all very, very minimal. But that desire to do tshuva can bring releases a heavenly help that there's no equal to. And huge loads of compassion, which no tzaddik is able to access. You know, the tzaddik doesn't require such compassion. You know, if someone who's got money asks you for charity, you say, well, you got your own money, right? So the tzaddik comes to Hashem and he says, you know, help me. You know, you're doing fine. I don't need to help you. You're doing a good job. But this guy's got nothing. He's absolutely destitute. So therefore, he gets this huge measure of compassion, which no tzaddik could ever access. Behind rachamim the tshuva. This is the compassion of the of tshuva, of the one who wants to return, even though he's so far away. She mala haderech, that a Kodesh Boch will suddenly bring him up with. He'll suddenly transport him up. In a way of jumping, he'll jump from the lowest level to the highest level. Even though his aspect, his share in this operation is very small, what his contribution is very small. We can give the analogy of a lottery, right? Let's say people buy lottery tickets. So sometimes they win 5 shekels, sometimes they win 10 shekels. Sometimes they win 15 shekels, right? They buy these tickets and they get these little prizes every now and then. They get a small prize. And suddenly, one guy buys a ticket and they give him 10 million shekels, right? And the same ticket that everyone else bought, right, for it to cost him 2 cents, right? So suddenly he's just won the big prize, right? The huge prize, you know, the one, once in a lifetime prize. He suddenly is all his, right? And it's the first time he ever bought a ticket. He's not even a regular here. Who are you, right? You know, we've all been buying tickets every day, and you come once, all of a sudden, and you get the big prize. His share in the revealing this great greatness, this tremendous revelation of Hashem's compassion, is very small. What he's done towards his contribution is very small, right? He contributed to a banquet. He contributed one peanut to his huge banquet. Right? The prick of his needle is very, very small and very, very pitiful, very poor. However, Hashem reveals a special place, this wondrous place where a Baal Tshuva has a connection to. Right? The one who's done Tshuva has a connection to this place. However, even though his contribution is so small, it's basically directed to this marvelous place, this place which is so very, very lofty. Which no tzaddik could reveal. You see, a tzaddik's not in that position. So therefore, no tzaddik can reveal the special, very lofty place that the Baal Tshuva reaches. In terms of this aspect, so the place that the Baal Tshuva stand, that total tzaddikim are not able even to stand there. It's just so awesome that there's been so much power released, so much of a revelation of Hashem's power that's released that no one can match it. It was concerning this that Rebbe cried when he saw this great light revealed. This light, which comes through the Baal Tshuva, why can he not also have the merit to get such a portion? Why can he not also have such a service that reveals such a revelation of Hashem? So that's an explanation. That's Rav Dessa's explanation on the crying of Rebbe. Right? That there's this other path to the heavens. Right? There's the path of the one who climbs step by step, and there's this other totally different path, which is reserved for the worst sinners. But if they suddenly take it to heart, change their whole life, change their whole way, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens it all up for them. V'nimtza, sheyesh shnei drochim. Right, we're starting point number five. It comes out that there are two separate routes. Kveda l'tzadikim ha'olim daga, which is the harder route for the righteous who climb step by step. V'kala l'rishoim, and it's a very easy path for the wicked, k'shenoistim daitim loshuv. They'll just take it to heart to change their ways. It's very easy for them. See, most of them don't merit to see this option. They don't see this. 99.9% of them never see this option because they're so caught up in their own lifestyle. But those who are prepared to open their eyes, who are prepared to wake up, so they've got a very easy out. Mamish, a tremendously easy out that takes them right to the top. The further a person gets from Hashem, this opportunity, this potential comes closer to him. This is the explanation of what our sages say, the famous Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says like this. In the future, Hashem will bring the Yetzirah. It says there in the Gemara he's going to slaughter the Yetzirah. And he's going to remove the Yetzirah completely. There'll be no inclination to do evil at all. All of that will fade away. That's it, it's gone. Tzadikim, and at that point the whole truth will be revealed. And tzadikim, when he slaughters the Yetzirah, the tzadikim need melehem kahagavoy. They'll see the Yetzirah as this huge mountain. The Yetzirah will appear to them as this huge mountain. Rishoyim need melehem kahuta saira. And the Rishoyim, the wicked, will see the same Yetzirah, they'll see him as a hair's breadth. They'll see him as a little hair. The same Yetzirah. This is what the Gemara says. The tzadikim see him, the Yetzirah being slaughtered. They're both crying. It's unbelievable, right? They suddenly, this opponent has been opposing them their whole life. So the tzaddikim see him as a great mountain, and the wicked, they're showing to him as a hair's breadth. Hallelu boichim, hallelu boichim. These are crying and these are crying. They both be crying. tzaddikim boichim u'aimim eich yacholnu lichvoy sha'a gavoy kazeh. The tzaddikim are crying and they're going to say, how was it that we conquered this mountain? How was it? And it does seem to be impossible. You see such a huge mountain. How did we ever do it? The answer is you did it step by step, step by step, step by step. Right. You did little by little. Every day you did a little bit more. Every day, every moment, every prayer, every act of chesed, every mitzvah. You did a little bit more. And over the years it just pulls up. And then they can't believe it. They see, look what we've done in our lives. It's unbelievable. So they're crying. This really cries. It's tears of joy. Tears of joy. Look how much we did. We can't believe that we've done so much. So that's the tzaddikim are crying. They're saying, how did we conquer this mountain? The Rishoyim boichim says the same Gemara. And the Rishoyim, the wicked, are crying. Right? The wicked are going to cry and say, how could we not overcome this little hair? Right? How could we not step over? You know, step over what? Just yes, jump over this. Step over this. Step over what? There's a hair on the ground. Step over the hair. That's it? That's all? Yeah, that's it? How could we not do it? How did we not do it? Right? All the wicked people who never took this opportunity, they'll say, how did we not do it? And they'll be crying with regret, with anguish. You know, what did we do? How could we miss out on such a wonderful opportunity? The EF Shalafarish of Oila Maemis Losid Lovo Yitzu Bahavonus Kovit Kisha Sayyitza. Right, it'll be impossible in the world of truth to make any error on the importance of conquering your Yitzhara. Then, once the truth is revealed, then they'll see that really that was what life was about. Life was all about overcoming these obstacles. That was what it was about. There's the prize. There's the prize at the end of the tunnel, that's Hashem. There's the prize at the end of the corridor, that's Hashem. That's the closeness of Hashem, which is the greatest joy, the greatest reward, the greatest pleasure, the greatest ultimate satisfaction, happiness. And there's some obstacles in the way to get there. And that's the way you get there. And that's the Yetzer Hara, that's the obstacle. And that's what life's about. It's just about going through the obstacle course to get to the destination. So therefore, once that's true, everyone will realize that that's what we should have done. And therefore, those who did it will be ecstatic. And those who didn't do it will be totally regretful. You know, why? How come we missed it? And each one's crying about his own lot. One is crying with joy, with relief. And one is crying with total frustration. Look what an idiot I was. I was just facing the wrong direction. My whole lifetime I faced the wrong way. And I never did what was available to me. Says Rav Desla, "V'zeu gam ken asher Yaakov avido alav shalom." We mentioned this before. When Yaakov, our forefather, k'she aval mokum shispalu boi avoisav, on his way to Chutz Laaretz to find his bride. When he made a mistake, he passed by the Temple Mount without stopping there to daven. Right? He passed the Hara Moriah b'le yispalel asher lefi oitze madregosu nechshav lo yizeh l'chet. So according to his tremendously high spiritual level, for him this was a sin. Right? And he forgot. He forgot to stop in daven. He passed by the place where his grandfather almost slaughtered his father, one of the most awesome experiences in world history, and that's an opportunity to visit that place, to daven, to connect with that, to connect with that awesome, with that very special power that resides in that place. And he just passed it by. So after he'd gone a long way away, he suddenly realized he missed stopping at that place, and he felt a sense of regret. But Alkan Kishinosan died Lashuv. So he decided he's going to go back, even though it's a tremendous difficulty involved in that. There's a tremendous, right? It's going all the way back. But he decided he has to go back. So the minute he decided that he has to go back, there was a miracle and the earth jumped for him. And he was there in a moment. It should have been hours and hours and hours of traveling back. But it took him a single moment. That was the miracle that was the miracle. Mikol Mokum. Now that, right, this actually answers a question we have. Our question is, we explained that this idea of jumping suddenly from nowhere to the highest of heights is something that's reserved for Baalei Tshuva. And we also explained that's why Rebbe cried. Why can't we have this opportunity, right? We who are tzaddikim, who've worked all our lives, why can't we also have a cry that jumps us to such high spiritual levels? Right? Why do we not have such a thing? But here we have a story that a little bit answers that question. Because Yaakov was a tremendous tzaddik. But he did make an error. And when he made the error, he did do tshuva. And he did experience the same type of thing. He did experience that suddenly the earth jumped for him. That's a similar thing. That a miracle was done. That in a moment he decided to do tshuva and he was suddenly got this huge heavenly help. That he was there in a moment. So in other words, it comes out as far as any time that a person is progressing on his life journey, when he reaches a wall, when he reaches a cliff that he just can't climb, what can he do? And what have I done? And I messed up. Now there's no options. The doors are locked. And everything is bolted, and you can't progress at all. At that point, any person, from the biggest tzaddik to the biggest rosha, anyone can cry out to Hashem. We have this second power. We cry to Hashem, we ask for heavenly help, and suddenly the doors open, fly open for us. That's number one. There's a point that comes out as follows. The Rav Dessler now goes on to say, and that's as follows. And this is also a very important point. So number one, we're saying really this option, it depends, you see, it depends how important it is to you, that how much of a cry you give, right? How much is your desire to get over this obstacle? There's an obstacle that's unpassable. It's a cliff. It's a 100-foot wall, and it's solid concrete, and it's 1,000 miles long on either side. You just can't get through it. But how much do we want to get through it? So when we give a cry, if it's a sincere cry, it's a heartfelt cry, so then there's a sudden miracle. The wall suddenly cracks in front of us. The sea suddenly splits in front of us. That's number one. Now here comes the second point. Sister of Desla, Mikol Mokum, take it. Herulo mina shamayim b'chaloimoy. Immediately, however, they showed him from the heavens his dream. This incident of the earth jumping, that he'd already passed the place, and then he suddenly had the tshuva, and suddenly they jumped him back to where he needed to be. This incident is the incident immediately before the story of his dream. The dream, what did he see in the dream? Was the ladder. Mm-hmm. That's the ladder. That they were showing him in the dream, but doesn't always work like this. Now, straight after this miracle that the earth jumped for him, they showed him in the dream the ladder to tell him, but it doesn't always work like this. It doesn't always work that you cry and you get whatever you want just through crying. Because if you can climb the ladder, then you must climb the ladder. Right? A person who does have legs and there is a rung in front of him and he can take the next step up, so then that's what he must do. That is his service. It's just when you hit that wall, when it becomes impossible. Right, like the legless person, it's just impossible. When you do hit that wall that you just can't pass, and you do give that cry, that was Yaakov who suddenly, wow, what did I do? I just passed the place of my forefathers. So then then he has that second option. As we all have both options. Not always are both options appropriate. Right. Because if he hasn't sinned, if you're just progressing nicely and you're not sinning, so then there's no tshuva. Tshuva is when you made a mistake. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, we all make mistakes, right? Every now and then we make mistakes. The question is how we're going to respond to the mistake. But it's not always, tshuva is only with chait. You can only repent on what you've done wrong. So if there has been a wrongdoing, we've made a mistake, we do have this option of crying and having suddenly the wall broken down in front of us. The path of the tzaddikim is the path of the stepladder, going up step by step. And this requires great strength. This requires encouragement. We have to encourage ourselves. We have to fortify ourselves. We have to talk to ourselves. Like push ourselves on. Like when we speak about strength, strength doesn't necessarily mean physical strength. Strength means determination. That I really want it. It's important to me. Right? I give it value. I appreciate it. I acknowledge its importance. That's really the strength we need. Strength of purpose, strength of determination, of a resolution, to be resolved that this is what I really want. Right? It's only in this path. This is really the ultimate path. The real path is the path of the ladder. And that's really the path of success. And really we have to be doing, each person has to be doing whatever he can. But there is the, as we said, there is this the second path, this path of tshuva. So just to sum up, where we're holding at the moment is, we have two paths ahead of us. We have what's called the path of the steps, levels, the path of levels, derech hamadregos, where a person advances gradually. And he makes small improvements throughout his life. Maybe sometimes you have setbacks, but you always have the opportunity to keep climbing, to keep coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's the other part, and sometimes that there's a wall in front of us and we just can't progress anymore. So then, by giving a cry, we can ask for great compassion. And Hashem will carry us up, carry us through to a higher level. That's not always available to us, but if we take advantage of that, so then that's also a device that we have to use. It's a device we have to use. There's an analogy we can use as follows. Once upon a time there was a king, and the king had a son, and he banished his son to a distant place. And there the son was living in the deepest dark Africa, amongst all of these natives there, all of these primitive people there, away from his father's palace. And he realized, he woke up and he realized that he has to try and get back to his father's palace. Right. So what can he do? So he has these are the two options. He can start preparing himself for a journey to get back to his father's palace. Right, he prepares the supplies, and he gets hiking boots, and he gets himself a tent, and he gets supplies, and he's training himself, and he's strengthening himself, and he's starting to this journey back to his father's palace. Right, that's his one option, and the second option is to cry to his father, right, to somehow try and send a message, to send a letter, which is a cry for help. Please bring me back. Please bring me back. And these are what we're saying now. These are the two options. We are trying to get closer to Hashem. Right? We are in a very, very distant place, in a very cold environment. This world is a very cold world. So there's a lot of coolness here, and Hashem is totally hidden here. But we realize that we should try. We should be striving to get back. And we have these two roads. We can cry to Hashem, bring us back. And we can just make our own efforts to try and get back to the king's palace. We take our own steps to get out. And we have to do, each person has to do whatever he can do. And sometimes the one will be the only option, sometimes the other will be the only option. We have to try and combine the two parts together in our journey to closeness to Hashem, which is the ultimate goal that we're all striving for.